Okay. We're going to go ahead and call the meeting to order. This is Tuesday, July 3rd, and this is the meeting of the Kitsap County Land Use Planning Commission. I'd like to start with introductions, although first I'd like to take a moment for the record to introduce Kim Allen, who's all the way on our left here. She is our newest member from South Kitsap, appointed by Commissioner Charlotte Garrido. And Kim is a great addition to our Land Use Planning Commission here. She was a Kitsap County hearings examiner. I got the scoop on you, by the way. Hearings examiner from 2008 to 2013. She served on the Redmond City Council from 2005 to 2017, so she's very used to meetings. She worked with Kitsap County committees on transit, growth management planning, regional law, safety and justice, and as an alternative to the PSRC, Growth Management Policy Board, among many, many other things, and is an attorney. So we're starting to gang up on everybody here. There's lots of us attorneys. So I'd like to welcome him to our group. And generally, we do start with introductions for the record. We usually start down at the left, so I'll go ahead and let you put your own name on the record and what area you're representing.
Oh, that's okay. I don't mind starting first. You know, recovering politician, we can't pass up a microphone. My name is Kim Allen, and Jeannie gave a very good summary of my background. I just, by complete happenstance, landed in Olalla after never really intending to move here. The house of our dreams opened up, and we said, why not? And so I've really enjoyed the move to Kitsap County. I just get tickled as I drive around and look at the places that I used to do site visits as a hearing examiner for, you know, different projects and that sort of thing. But I've always wanted to give back to my community wherever I land. And so this seemed like a really good fit with my background. And with the opening that was in South Kitsap, it seemed fortuitous. I'm looking forward to rolling up my sleeves, digging in. Don't anticipate a huge learning curve. I've worked with comprehensive plan updates in the past. And I look forward to getting to know all of you and kind of get a sense of the direction that you all have for Kitsap County and see where I might fit in there.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And Spencer Stegman, North Kitsap.
Hi, Rick Shattuck, Central Kitsap.
Tom Nevins, North Kitsap.
Kara Ann Gonzalez, Harless, South Kitsap.
And Gina Busker for Central Kitsap. The first thing that I'd like everybody to do is take a look at the agenda, if you have not already. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda for this evening?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All right. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay. All those in favor of adopting the agenda as presented, raise your hands. That's unanimous. Moving along to the approval of minutes. Via email and by hard copy today, we received a copy of the minutes from both the April 17th, 2018 meeting as well as the May 1st, 2018 meeting. Let's go ahead and do them as one at a time to make sure that we've made any adjustments, if any, are needed. First of all, do we have a motion to approve the minutes from April 17th, 2018?
Motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any discussion on the minutes from the 17th? All right. All those in favor of adopting the minutes? We've got four. All those abstain? We have one abstention. I'm just taking a wild guess that you might abstain from this.
These will be my last abstentions.
Okay. And then the meetings from May 1st, 2018. Also received via email and in hard copy here tonight. Do I have a motion to approve the meetings from May 1st?
I'll move to approve.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All right. All those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented from May 1st? Kara Ann, were you here?
Oh, sorry.
And then any abstentions? We've got one abstention. Right. That passes. And then it looks like the next show approval minutes. Let me just do that. We have a briefing and work study for the 2018 Comprehensive Plan Amendments update on final docket. Peter.
Good evening. So my name is Peter Best, Senior Planner for Long Range Planning, Kitsap County Department of Community Development. So I was last before you on May Day, providing you a briefing on the annual comprehensive plan amendment process, what you were likely to expect come this meeting, and we discussed your schedule for the consideration of those amendments. So the purpose of tonight is to begin the work study on the 2018 comprehensive plan amendments. There are 11 in total. We'll be looking at 8 tonight. I want to provide an overview of each amendment to you and explain staff's recommendation and have some time for initial question and answer on those. I realize many of you are receiving your binders and materials for the first time tonight, so the presentations should provide an overview. It may be enough to generate some initial questions on the amendments. And those of you who might have reviewed materials in advance, happy to entertain any questions that you have tonight. To keep us all on the same page, we've provided you a binder with all the materials. The tabs are numbered, and so we'll reference those and go through material as needed tonight. You each should have, in addition to your binder, either if you picked it up for the first time tonight, you should have a table of contents at the top. That's today's date on it. And if you previously picked up your binder, you should have some insert pages. We won't need those insert pages tonight, so don't worry about inserting those if you haven't already in your binder. But there are instructions on the right-hand side of the insert describes what should come out and what should go in. So now you have a complete binder except for the three remaining comprehensive plan amendments that we'll discuss on the 17th of July. So tonight, I'll provide a very brief overview of comprehensive planning for the record. I think everyone in the room understands it, but for anyone who might be listening to this afterwards, just a brief presentation on that. I'll provide an overview on the annual process for this year, so you understand how we got to this point. We'll look at the schedule for Planning Commission's consideration of these amendments, and then get into the 8 amendments we'll look at tonight. Anticipating your next meeting on July 17th, we'll have the 3 remaining amendments, staff reports, ready for you for that meeting. So we'll do a work study on those, complete all 11, and then begin our first public hearing. A second public hearing has been scheduled for the 31st, which is a special meeting. So briefly, comprehensive planning in Washington State is governed at the statewide level by the Growth Management Act. This establishes a common framework for planning across Washington State, and we are a fully planning jurisdiction under the law. At a regional level, there's several ways that Kitsap County coordinates planning with other jurisdictions. So across Central Puget Sound, with the counties of King, Pierce, Snohomish, and Kitsap, and all of the cities within those counties, we participate through the Puget Sound Regional Council in developing multi-county planning policies in the document that's called Vision 2040. That creates a common framework for planning at a regional scale. Across the county, in Kitsap County and the cities within it, we participate in a group called the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council. Also represented there are tribes, the Navy, Kitsap Transit, through the Kitsap Regional Coordinating Council, we develop and agree on countywide planning policies that establish a framework for how the comprehensive plans in the county and the cities reasonably coordinate with each other to coordinate development across jurisdictions and in urban growth areas. The countywide planning policies are in your binder as reference material at the back of your binder. And then for unincorporated Kitsap County, the Kitsap County's comprehensive plan governs the long-term vision for development and how growth is accommodated, both in the urban growth areas fringing cities, as well as the rural parts of the county. And then the comprehensive plan is implemented through the Kitsap County Code, development regulations, and through various programs, both here at the county and through other organizations that participate in various aspects of community service provision and management. The Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan is a 20-year vision for how our communities will grow. And again, for unincorporated Kitsap County, the planning horizon is from 2016 to 2036 for our current plan. It addresses a very wide range of aspects of community development, from land use, economic development, the environment, housing and human services, transportation, capital facilities and utilities needed to support all of that development and uses, parks, recreation, and open space, as well as various sub-area and neighborhood plans. It also includes, particularly through the capital facilities plan, the strategies and investments needed to achieve that vision. In our current comprehensive plan, the cities and the unincorporated urban growth areas represent about a quarter of the total land area in Kitsap County. And according to our countywide planning policies and the implementing comprehensive plans for the county and the cities, approximately 80% of that population will be accommodated within urban areas. So about 20% will be accommodated in rural areas. So that is our current plan. We are mandated to review the plan on two different cycles. So a major review occurs every 8 years. We review the entire plan, the entire capital facilities plan that goes with it. Revisions are made as needed, and this was last completed in 2016. Then in intervening years, there are various levels of review that occur on an annual basis. This is at the discretion of the Board of County Commissioners to determine whether a review is needed. That scope of that review is established by resolution, and those are resolutions for this year's scope are included in tab one of your binders. And the amendments must be consistent with the existing comprehensive plan. So these annual amendments are not intended to make significant changes or deviations from the current vision of the plan. And this is a legislative process. So the Board of County Commissioners has full discretion on establishing that scope and in the final decision making the ordinances to adopt or not adopt amendments. So this year's process began in the end of 2017, scoping the type of amendments that will be considered. We went through a several-month period of developing those amendments, and we'll get into that in more detail. Once we had the initial development done, the board reviewed those and adopted a final docket that added an item to the docket and deferred one site-specific amendment ultimately to the 2019 amendment year. So then we went through an analysis phase, and we're now entering the consideration phase of the amendments. So just a little bit more detail on how we got to this set of amendments. We have a process for cataloging suggestions for amendments to the comprehensive plan from interested parties and staff. At the beginning of each annual cycle, the board is presented with that to review, and they determine which amendments will go into the development phase of work. And then they'll look at those amendments in development and decide on a final docket, as they did this year, that may include revisions. And again, those resolutions are in tab one of your binders. So For 2018, the docket did allow for site-specific applications for three different categories. So in rural areas, the applications could be submitted to add a mineral resource overlay designation to properties, or to add a forest resource land designation to properties. And in urban growth areas, applications could be submitted for redesignating land for infill or redevelopment. And in some cases, those urban growth area applications are required to acquire transferable development rights per Kitsap County Code. And we'll talk a little bit about that more as we get to one of those applications. For developing these amendments, the site-specific applications were required to participate in a staff consultation meeting before they submitted their applications, so they understood the process, the costs, and were able to get feedback and from staff and ask questions about the scope of their amendment. They submitted those between early January and early February. And then for county-sponsored amendments, there's quite a variety of processes that those went through in development. So some, like the Parks Plan, went through significant prior public development to beginning this process. Some amendments, like the Kingston Urban Village Center Amendment, established new citizens advisory committees specifically for that process. And we also utilized existing citizen advisory committees for some of these amendments, like the non-motorized plan. And then some of these were just developed by staff. In the analysis phase, this includes developing the SEPA environmental checklist, which is an important disclosure document. Provides the ability to analyze each amendment for potential significant adverse impacts to the environment. There's a SEPA threshold determination made for each of these amendments. They're all determinations of non-significance in this batch. And staff reports also provide analysis for compliance with state law and the decision criteria in Kitsap County Code, as well as consistency with countywide planning policies and the comprehensive plan. So last week, with the release of all the materials, we began a public commenting period. So public consideration will be ongoing throughout much of your work here, including two public hearings. The comment period ends August 7th. And during that time, we have an online open house that's been in existence from the beginning of this project and can provide an opportunity for anyone to catch up if they come, whenever they come into this process. We have three open houses, one in each of the three districts across the county next week. Two public hearings with you on the 17th and the 31st. Sorry, I should say the 31st. And we, just as way of public notification, we've done a variety of different methods to try to directly reach out over 31,000 recipients, as well as newspaper noticing that's reached a circulation of 30,000. So we've emailed directly subscribers to county notification lists. We've made a post to an online service called nextdoor.com, which has over, I think 22,000 subscribers to it within Kitsap County. This is actually a great opportunity to reach people who we know live in Kitsap County and are interested in what's happening in their communities. For any amendment that has some geographic specificity to it, like site-specific applications, the downtown Kingston work that we've been doing, and the George's Corner Lammert Amendment that we'll get to, we've sent postcards out to property owners within those areas and surrounding those sites. We also notified formally the tribes in the area and legal notices, and we have ongoing direction throughout the county websites to be able to provide direct people to the correct information. So hopefully they're just one or two clicks away from being able to get to the information if they're trying to find it. So Tonight is the beginning of your consideration process. We have six meetings scheduled with you throughout the summer. And tonight we'll look at eight of these amendments. On the 17th, we'll look at the remaining three and then hold the first public hearing. On the 31st will be the second public hearing, and time allowing, a bit of work study, hopefully. I do want to make sure that you know that is a special meeting that was scheduled because August 7th, your regular meeting is on primary election night, and it had to be rescheduled. So then in advance of, following the public hearing in advance of the remainder of your work, we'll provide you with a public comment matrix of all the comments we've received, staff responses, and any information we can provide that will be helpful to you, as well as a draft findings of fact that we'll provide to you for review and revision. Then on the 21st of August and into September, we have three meetings for work study to review and finalize the findings of fact and your recommendations. So we have tonight a total of seven county-sponsored amendments. We'll talk about five of those tonight. The non-motorized facilities plan, the Kingston Urban Village Center review that has been done on the 17th. We'll talk about George's Corner and the Lammerd there, the limited area of more intensive rural development. Also on the 17th, we'll look at the public facilities designations and park classifications amendment, and just to let you know that that's intended to be kind of an annual item on the docket so we can maintain and catch up with any acquisitions or dispositions of property. Tonight, we'll talk about the Parks, Recreation, Open Space Plan, affordable housing, and some clarifying edits to the comp plan and the code. Then on the site-specific applications side, we have three applications tonight to look at. And Central Kitsap, the Richardson application, which is requesting from residential to commercial designation. Also in Central Kitsap, the Ulan Tree Farm request to add a mineral resource overlay. In South Kitsap, adjacent to the Gorst, and in the Gorst area adjacent to the Bremerton UGA, is the Culbertson request to add a mineral resource overlay. And on the 17th, we'll discuss the Hanley request in the port inside the Port Orchard UGA to change from a residential to commercial designation. So your binders are now primarily filled with staff reports and their attachments. This is a new format of staff report that you're seeing from the planning department. And just to orient you to how they're organized so you can find the appropriate content that you want to look for. Each staff report begins with a summary table that summarizes, in a nutshell, the basic facts of the amendment. Then there's a background section that talks about the authority for why this amendment is being considered in this cycle. A plain talk description of what the amendment is and the scope of it that corresponds with attachment A, which is the ordinance like language for the amendment. Then that background section also includes a geographic description. Following is the department recommendation and the rationale for that recommendation. If there were other alternatives considered, those are described. And then staff analysis, which is looking at the relevant decision criteria in Kitsap County Code Chapter 2108. And the criteria will vary depending on the amendment that's being reviewed. So if it's site specific, there's some unique criteria to those amendments. And if it's a textual amendment, there's different criteria that will apply to that. So your staff reports will will only present the criteria that are relevant to that amendment. And then we'll summarize public involvement and outreach up to this point and what's anticipated over the next several months. Staff contact, if you have further detailed questions and would like to talk directly to staff, their contact information is provided. And attachment A is the ordinance like strikeout, underline, language, and or maps that go with the amendment that depict the geography of the amendment. Attachment B provides all of the SEPA documents, the determination, and the checklist. And then attachment C includes other supplemental materials that may be relevant. So there may be special reports here for a site-specific application or supplemental material that's relevant to a county-sponsored amendment. Okay, so that's the end of my introduction to where we're going. And if there's any more general questions about what I've already gone through, I'd be happy to entertain those now before we get into the details of each amendment.
I think we have one down at the end.
Just one question, Peter.
Yes.
You said that, and I've looked at the online, because that's how I think best, on the online site that you have, and it's very comprehensive. What I don't see is a place where the public can see the public comment, or alternatively, the planning commissioners, as we go through this period
yes.
of public comment. Will there be access to that?
Yes, absolutely. So we're really encouraging folks to comment through an online form if they can. So those are instantly reported in a spreadsheet format. And on our commenting page, there is a link to comments that have already been submitted. So you can see in real time comments that are being submitted through that form. Comments that we receive through other means, email, hard copy letter, will be added to that as we have time to add them. So we'll try to keep that up to date. And then once we've reviewed those comments and prepared staff feedback and recommendations, those will be published in that same matrix online, as well as a hard copy provided to you.
I had a question because I'm looking at the comment period now open, learn how to submit comments, and when I click on that, it says the page you're looking for doesn't exist. So I just wanted to alert you to that and also find a way to be able to access those comments in real time.
Yes. Thank you. In your binder, the first document under tab 1 is a hard copy of our online open house. And the second portion of that, which is 5 pages in, is a copy of our commenting page. And if you go to the second page of that, which is 2 of 4, there's a green box on the page. A little bit below that, there's an underlined hyperlink view submitted comments here. And that's the way to get to it. And if you're not getting to that page, then maybe after this meeting we can see if we can get you to
discuss that offline. Yeah, I'm on the live website now, and I'm having difficulties. So thank you.
Okay, yeah, so we'll get you there. Any other questions on the background stuff? Okay, so we'll dig in. We'll go through these one at a time, and I'll be joined by staff that participated in the development and the analysis of these or led that effort. I'll provide an overview for most of these, and then they'll tag team me with some of the details in the Q&A. So the first up is the non-motorized facilities plan. I'll be joined by David Fort, who's the transportation planning supervisor in the Public Works Department. The Kitsap County Non-Motorized Facilities Plan is an existing document that's referenced in the comprehensive plan. Primarily, this is the result of a periodic review of that plan, looking at some of the circumstances leading up to this. We're looking at, thank you very much. Route adjustments to non-motorized routes throughout the county, clarifying what the official routes are, clarifying other maps in the plan, and one aspect of this is related to the Kingston area and the community trails plan there. In 2016, the adoption of the new comprehensive plan kind of streamlined what content from the old subarea plans were carried forward into the 2016 comprehensive plan. The community trails plan lost its official status under the comp plan, and so was not being officially, could not be officially implemented. So one of the circumstances leading to this amendment is to try to formally house that back into the comprehensive plan through the non-motorized facilities plan. So this amendment was developed through the Non-Motorized Citizens Advisory Committee, which is an existing group that works with the Department of Public Works. They were conducting a periodic review and recommended adjustments to routes throughout the county and other improvements to the plan. The Kingston Community Trails Plan was proposed from the Kitsap Citizens Advisory Council, which is another existing group appointed by the county to represent the Kingston area, and wanting to, again, establish a formal home for their trails plan under the comprehensive plan. And they were requesting strengthened implementation in the Kingston area. Kingston Community Trails Plan proposed by the Kingston Citizens Advisory Council was reviewed by Public Works staff and the Non-Motorized Citizens Advisory Committee, which recommended the proposed map changes in the amendment that we have tonight. So this amendment, the proposed amendment incorporates various updates from the Non-Motorized Facilities Plan, summarizes those into the 20-year capital facilities plan, so there's consistency and clarity between the two documents. It strengthens the policy for implementing the non-motorized facilities plan in the Kingston urban growth area. It updates various maps in several appendices in the non-motorized facilities plan and includes clarifying edits both in the capital facilities plan and the non-motorized facilities plan. Determination of non-significance was issued for this amendment under SEPA, and the department's recommendation is to adopt it as proposed. It is consistent with the Growth Management Act, the countywide planning policies, comprehensive plan, and the decision criteria in Kitsap County Code. This generally reflects a periodic update to the non-motorized facilities plan and incorporates the updated Kingston Community Trails Plan. We think that it improves consistency with the Kingston Complete Streets Plan, which is also adopted under the comp plan, and improves clarity of the capital facilities plan and the non-motorized facilities plan. So that's a brief overview of the amendment. And what I'd like to try to do with you tonight, and we'll see if this works, is to orient you to Appendix A. And you're not seeing that. Walk you through Appendix A to orient you to that content, not in excruciating detail, but so that you understand how we're presenting this, and so you can study the details and discuss any questions you might have. So attachment A is common to all of the county-sponsored amendments. It's essentially draft ordinance language. And so each element of the amendment starts off with a number and a summary description of what it's addressing. So amendment number one is incorporation by reference in the capital facilities plan. Each aspect of that amendment begins with an ordinance section header type language that you're seeing here on lines 3 and 4. And then it goes into the strikeout and underline language. So Amendment 1 is just incorporating by reference the new 2018 non-motorized facilities plan document into the capital facilities plan. Amendment 2, the non-motorized descriptions of non-motorized facilities are being updated in the capital facilities plan, is what this is providing. And David, if you want to add anything to this, just let me know. And then you'll see that as we get into the middle of page 2, there's an additional element to this amendment. This is to remove a non-motorized map from the capital facilities plan. And this is essentially a clarifying edit to remove so that we don't have two officially adopted maps which are inconsistent with each other. We want to keep them all in the non-motorized facilities plan. So then there's a third element to amendment number 2 here, which updates some of the references in the capital facilities plan. Amendment number 3, yep.
For amendment number 2, this is David for Kitsap County Public Works. For amendment 2, basically the existing plan has two maps. That show routes, regional routes, and bicycle routes. But we're combining those two maps into one map. This will aid in development review and make more clear which routes are official routes and which are not. There's been a little bit of confusion in our development review about how to apply these maps, and so this amendment will clarify that there's only one map that identifies all the routes.
So amendment number 3 is to revise a sub-area policy for Kingston, policy number 19, to strengthen the implementing language for the Kingston Urban Growth Area. Amendment number 4 adopts the maps that David just referenced in Appendix E of the non-motorized facilities plan, and those are in your binder as Exhibit A1. Amendment 5 adopts a bicycle route numbering system as Appendix F to the non-motorized facilities plan. Amendment number 6 is updating community maps, which are in Appendix I of the non-motorized facilities plan. So most of these are just being updated for format reasons and incorporating the regional routes that are reflected also on these more localized maps. The community trails aspect, the revisions there are localized to the Kingston Urban Growth Area and surrounding area. Amendment number 7 corrects some internal references and clarifies some language in the non-motorized facilities plan. So that's just an example of how Appendix A is structured. And you'll find in the staff report, the description of the amendment is a more plain talk version of what those changes are and some of the reasons why those amendments are being made. So are there any questions on non-motorized facilities plan?
And early, Rick Shattuck, in earlier presentations to the Central Kitsap Community Council, the concept route from north to south, one of the goals that was stated was connectivity with the Heritage Park at Newbury Hill. And I noticed that the concept map that's there now doesn't have any kind of connectivity to the Heritage Park. I'm just wondering what the thought was, the hill's too high, or why the concept, north-south concept, avoids the Heritage Park.
With the current plan, we aren't changing the north-south spine, so there's a spine that connects north to south one through. But the non-motorized committee has concerns about how that alignment is and considers that there needs to be a lot more research, a lot more analysis before. So on this plan, what you'll actually see is we sort of, not quite demoted it, but reclassified that route as a proposed concept. While a route, which is a solid line on your maps, has a defined location, geographic location, go to A to B with an alignment. The conceptual one is one that we basically want to connect A to B. we're not really sure how to. There is a dotted line that kind of shows approximately where they would go, but it will take more research and analysis and a feasibility study to determine most of that. So that type of connectivity to that central spine would be part of that further on planning. I will take this one little second just to explain the maps when you look through this. In your packet, you will find there's one map that will show all the proposed changes. It shows what changed in the routes map. Then you'll have three maps broken down into north, central, and south that are just the refined routes map that you will be adopting or recommending for adoption or change. Let's go through. So when you compare the changes map to the existing one, it kind of gives you an evolution, how they evolved. The non-motorized committee worked for about 2 years on these changes, looking at the use of routes, the feasibility of routes, whether there are too steep of hills that is even feasible or conceivable that people would use it, and also really worked at connecting communities and connections within communities were the ones they wanted to refine. So it shows their refinements going forward. The smaller maps are predominantly the community maps were just updated to a new format and to show the changes to the routes. But also in the Kingston area, the Citizens Advisory Committee worked with the Kingston community and reviewed each one of their proposals going through. And in your packet, you will see there's a breakdown of how the Citizens Advisory Committee looked at each one of the Kingston Community Trails recommendations and what their recommendations were. Most of them were accepted and brought into the mapping format for the non-motorized plan. Some were not because they were not consistent with the policies of the non-motorized plan or did not meet the criteria for becoming a route or becoming other ones. And so those are the primary maps you have before you as you went through.
Kim Allen. Question. I'm looking at the South Kitsap map for non-motorized connections and noting kind of a green trail designation offshore running from, basically Manchester all the way down, and wondered what that designation is.
Those are water.
Kayaks?
Exactly, water trails.
Okay. And then if you look at the shoreline itself is designated with the black line. Does that mean shorelines? I didn't see the black line in the key.
No, the black, that's just the outline.
Just the outline?
The county outline.
Okay.
As you went through. And then the green line is the water trails going through.
Thank you.
Any other questions on non-motorized?
You have some. I've noticed in the past whenever concept trails are designated on maps, folks who own property that looks like it's going through get pretty excited. I have in the distant past suggested a wide band of grayed out area that was a route line rather than a straight line. But anyway. I guess you'll expect that coming.
You're exactly right. We are, with the exception, we did not change the alignment for the north-south corridor. But when you look at the Kingston map, primary example, where they have a proposed trail that does cut, anytime they cut across private property, we tried to make it as basically abstract as possible instead of finding the contour. So as an example, there's one there where Barber Cutoff Road and Linvog, connectivity between those. How to align that between there is a very contentious discussion. So we use very much straight lines that were obviously not how a trail would go, but it shows that there is a desire by the community to go from A to B as part of that, and an alignment will be worked out later at different points. Sometimes it'll be a private discussion with private easements rights or allowing people to go through or a formalized trail depending on what the concept.
Turning over to tab number 3, Kingston Urban Village Center, UVC zone. This was docketed as a review of the policies and development regulations related to the UVC zone, which is downtown Kingston, adjacent to the ferry terminal. We've understood this to look at addressing existing barriers to achieving the existing vision for development and planned growth in downtown Kingston. Circumstances leading up to this have included very limited development, which has occurred in the UVC zone, that we anticipate an increase in demand for development with the passenger-only fast ferry service from Kingston to downtown Seattle, and that there was a fairly broadly held belief that there were regulatory barriers to achieving the existing vision for development and planned growth in downtown Kingston. There were also several sub-area policies which called for, in particular, reviewing the mixed-use requirement in the zone and increasing the residential density allowed in the zone. So the development occurred, staff working with a newly appointed citizens group, Kingston UVC Work Group is what they were called. 10 members are acknowledged in the beginning of your binder. It's been a real pleasure working with them. They represent a pretty diverse range of interests and backgrounds in the community, many with long histories of working on trying to plan and manage the character of downtown Kingston. With them, we looked at identifying existing barriers to achieving the vision for development and planned growth in downtown. We looked not only at regulatory barriers, but also looked at infrastructure and market-related barriers to see how they interact. And if we were to adjust regulatory standards, how those would relate to those other factors. So the proposed amendments today here address these barriers and still achieve the existing vision for development and planned growth in downtown. The group first worked on barriers that triggered comprehensive plan amendments. So that's what you're seeing tonight in this staff report. We continue our work with them, and there are additional amendments to county code that hopefully will be before you later this year. But we are still in development on those. So the amendments for downtown Kingston's UVC zone include removing the mixed-use requirement. And I'll explain that a little bit more in detail in a moment. Clarifying incentive-based parking programs and the policy related to that in the sub-area plan. Removing the two sub-area plan policies that we've completed through this work. And revising the allowed density in the UVC zone as suggested by the policy. This amendment received a determination of non-significance. And we're recommending adoption as proposed. And the rationale for that is that it is consistent with the Growth Management Act, the countywide planning policies, comprehensive plan, and the decision and criterion county code. This better supports the existing vision for downtown Kingston and completes two sub-area plan policies for the area. I'll try to remember to switch back to presentation view for you so that's bigger. So the amendment language in attachment A for this amendment, the first one is in the comprehensive plan, the mixed use requirement. So there is an existing policy number 6, which the work group has revised and suggested become policy number 53 to organize it a little bit better with similar policies. And this is intended to take an existing policy statement and make it more reflective of the other visioning statements about downtown Kingston. Amendment number 2 is to remove the mixed-use requirement from Kitsap County Code. So downtown Kingston is currently all development there has to be either commercial only or mixed use. It's the only commercial zone within Kitsap County that does not allow a residential only development project. So this was seen as a barrier to development occurring in the district. And it would result in excess commercial capacity in the district. Deter from residential development that was envisioned to occur in a pedestrian-oriented downtown neighborhood. So another amendment number 3 here is parking incentives. So there's an existing policy regarding parking incentives. This is to add some greater specificity about transit-oriented development and off-site parking. One of the challenges in downtown Kingston is the extremely small lot size and being able to accommodate parking requirements on site. So there has been both policies and regulations related to various parking alternatives and incentives. This is adding a couple more tools in the toolbox and also clarifying about on-street parking from the conversations that the UVC work group had. Amendment 4 is removing the 2 completed sub-area policies, which were to review the mixed-use standard and to increase residential density in the zone. Amendment number 5 is increasing the UVC maximum density, which is currently 18 dwelling units per acre with a minimum of 10, changing the maximum from 18 to not applicable in our code. So therefore, maximum density would be regulated by building height, building setbacks, other site development requirements. Amendment number 6 is striking some of that maximum density related language from code. Amendment 7 is revising another section of code with density. Amendment number 8 is removing a footnote which relates to the mixed use requirement. So currently in downtown Kingston, if you can build a project that is intended for mixed use, but occupy the commercial portion of that project with a residential use initially, and it has to be built so that it can be converted to a commercial space, it creates some awkward circumstances and hoops that folks go through just to be able to move forward building residential units in downtown Kingston. So that summarizes the amendments to the UVC. And Liz, you want to join me? Liz Williams has worked with me with the Kingston UVC work group. This is a long-range planner in DCD. So are there any initial questions about the UVC amendment?
I have one. Okay. Sorry for the newbie questions. Could you scroll back down to amendment number 5?
Yes.
Now, is amendment number 5 limited to just the Kingston UVC, or is it a change generally?
It's limited just to the Kingston UVC zone.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. A quick look at the critical area map shows the parking lot that associated with the ferry terminal to be a critical area. Is that because of threatened subsidence, or what is earthquake-related sort of thing? I can't figure out. There's no slopes there. Okay.
So it's a high-hazard geologic area. We'd have to look into some other maps to determine what kind of geohazard is causing that. Probably seismic, because it's fill over intertidal.
The whole thing is fill from the marina, so
right.
It's going to be mud.
So it's probably seismic, but we can look into that and get you an answer. Okay, moving on to our next tab number 6, which is the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan. So on the docket, this was to incorporate the 6-year update to the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Plan. The county is required to review and update the Parks Plan every 6 years to be eligible for many state and federal grant programs. The development of the 2018 version of the plan had extensive prior public process to the beginning of this comprehensive planning cycle. So most of this work was done in 2017 and concluded in the approval of the plan by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners in February of 2018. That development process included a broad community survey, several open houses, several public hearings, and additional engagement with parks groups and the general public. So the amendment, this particular amendment reflects just a portion of the 2018 plan. So one of the triggering events for why this is a comp plan amendment is that the strategies are adopted by reference into Chapter 6 of the comp plan. So in updating the strategies in the parks plan, we need to reflect that change now through adoption by reference into the comprehensive plan. There's some updated discussion in the introduction to the parks chapter of the comprehensive plan, and there's some updating of hyperlinks and a few clarifying edits like that in this amendment. So it's not a too substantial in scope. In that regard, there are some additional updates that will be done later this year to the 20-year capital facilities plan. Those will be considered during the 6-year capital improvement planning process and the county budget process later in this year. So the SEPA determination was of non-significance for this amendment, and the department's recommendation is to adopt as proposed. So the amendments in attachment A for this, I don't think I need to pull this one up on the screen, is just a revision to the introduction, essentially, and a revision to the references that adopt the strategies and reference other planning documents. So that's the content of the amendment for the Parks Plan. Any initial questions about the Parks Plan update? I'd like to recognize Stephen Starland from Parks and Open Space Planner with the Parks Department, who did all the work on the parks planning process and has helped move this into a comprehensive plan amendment. So flipping now to tab 7, this is the affordable housing amendment. And I understand that in May, Kirsten Jewell was with you, and as part of another conversation, brought up a bit about this amendment as well. So you may already have had a brief introduction to this. Kirsten was also helped on this by a couple of folks that I'd like to recognize. Bonnie Tufts and Shannon Bauman from the Department of Human Services. So the circumstances for this amendment are you know, I think we're generally aware that housing affordability is decreasing, not only in Kitsap County, but nationally, and especially in the Puget Sound region, and that demand is increasing quite a bit in Kitsap County for housing that is affordable to households with lower incomes. The goals and policies that are reflected in the current comprehensive plan went through a significant update in 2016. And the ask here was to review and revise as needed the policies related to affordable housing in the Housing and Human Services chapter. The staff from the Department of Human Services reviewed the policies and found that they were comprehensive in their scope and do not require further revision at this time. But this issue needs perhaps improved strategic approaches to how to tackle it. So they did identify and recommend improvements to the strategies that are found in the comprehensive plan. And that's the scope of the proposed amendment before you. So the new strategy would include an affordable housing inventory and transportation analysis. There's also some administrative updating of hyperlinks in the plan. The new strategy will result in better implementation of existing policies and strategies, including better determination of the current landscape of affordable housing and the scope of the need additional housing units, not just in unincorporated Kitsap County, but within incorporated cities as well. Identify policies and strategies that will support the development of additional units of housing that is affordable to low-income households. Really focus on the implementation rather than the high-level policy that's currently in the plan. And increase our understanding of how existing transportation systems align with current housing stock. So that's the intended scope of the amendment. It received a determination of non-significance, and the department's recommendation is to adopt as proposed. There is a model for what this affordable housing inventory and transportation analysis might look like, done by the Skagit Council of Governments. It's referenced in your staff report if you're interested in looking at that in more detail. That's not necessarily exactly what this study would look like, but it's a good model for what it would include. And coordination would be across jurisdictions and with service providers as well. So the language is provided in attachment A, and I can pull that up if you'd like. It ties in with some of the existing strategies in the comprehensive plan, particularly around regulatory improvements for affordable housing. So I'll try to jump over to that. Strategy. Any questions about the Affordable Housing Amendment? Okay. Moving on to Tab 8. So these are clarifying edits. Again, this is an annual docket item that we're anticipating to improve the clarity and consistency inside the comprehensive plan and with county code. So the intention here was to do limited amendments that may be needed to improve the clarity of the plan without changing the intent of the plan. So this was developed by staff at the Department of Community Development. And These non-substantive edits include better describing how the mineral resource overlay as a designation as a zone works in relationship to other designations and zones. And this will relate to two site-specific amendments that we'll get to later. It also includes clarifications about land use designations, zoning classifications, and densities. There are clarifications to the density and dimensions table in county code for consistency and to improve readability. And one particular thing that's been added here is to clarify and more easily access the map for the ILAHI view protection overlay area. It's again one of these things that existed in a subarea plan that was not carried forward into the 2016 comprehensive plan, and it's adopted by reference in code, cited in code, and so we're adding it to Title 17 of the county code so that it's easily found. So the department recommends adoption as proposed of this amendment, and we believe that these are for clarity and consistency purposes only without changing the intent of the comp plan. This one, attachment A, is quite lengthy. Won't go through in excruciating detail, but I will point out that the staff report has probably more extensive than others' plain talk explanation of what's changing and why for this amendment. So in total, there are 14 sections to this amendment, both to the comprehensive plan and to the county code. One and two are really just Scribner's error corrections. I'm going to get to amendment two. Excuse me as I scroll through to this. I'm on page three of attachment A. There are just in this section just clarifications of the date ranges and the planned population target for the county, just to make this consistent with what the rest of the comprehensive plan is describing as population and time horizon. Jumping down to amendment number three. This is a Scribner's error. Number four is amending the comprehensive plan land use map. And this first part relates to the mineral resource overlay. So in the current map, mineral resource, which is an overlay, is shown as a solid color and does not depict what the underlying land use designation is. And this relates to the temporary or transient nature of what the mineral resource overlay is intended to be. It's intended to reside on the property while the mineral resource, or until the mineral resource is extracted, and then intended to defer back to the underlying designation and zone. So the map is now going to show a hatched overlay with the underlying designation and zone underneath it. Also to the comprehensive plan land use map, we're adding the Sobadell Regional Growth Center boundary, which is referenced in some sections of code, and so showing that will be helpful. Amendment five are similar changes to the zoning map, adding or showing the mineral resource overlay as a hatched transparent overlay of the underlying zone. Amendment number six is fairly sizable. So a variety of aspects of this First, it's just intended to clarify how to read this table. There was no introduction or guidance to how to interpret the various columns of this table and how they related to each other. So how do land use designations and zone classifications relate to each other is clarified in this. We're also intending to increase consistency between how this reads and how the county code reads, so they are similar, and there's no room for misreading one or the other. And consistent use of terminology. So the use of not applicable both here and in Kitsap County Code is being used consistently. Another change here is around mineral resource overlay. There's a footnote number one added to clarify that relationship of it as an overlay and its transient temporary nature. And and we're also adding some specificity to clarify how maximum density in certain areas, like under the Gorst subarea plan, applies. So that's not buried in a footnote in county code. That's more open and transparent here. And we're also clarifying, for example, again, I'll use mineral resource overlay as the example. This mineral resource overlay row for maximum density shows zero. And a footnote describes that a zone like mineral resource overlay is not intended to accommodate population growth. It's intended for another purpose. But the footnote does identify that there are some limited residential uses in support of commercial industrial use, for example, that could be allowed on a property for that particular use. That's consistent with how current code is applied, and we're trying to just be more clear about that here.
Richard. Real quick question on this particular amendment. I don't remember a footnote allowing. I don't remember a footnote allowing 60 units per acre in the Silverdale Regional Growth Center. Is that new, or was there a footnote I just missed?
That's actually not a footnote. It is that there's a table for the Silverdale area that allows up to 60. Yeah. And so the rephrasing here is to clarify that. For example, the bottom row here on page 5, up to 60 in the Silverdale Regional Growth Center, is to clarify that standard density is maximum 30, but in the Regional Growth Center, it's allowed up to 60, which is allowed under current code. Okay, so I'll imagine that when we come back to this in a further work study and you've had a chance to read through these clarifying edits, you may have additional and more detailed questions. So another clarification here, for example, is under public facilities that there's a parks zone under public facilities, but also public facilities can overlay any other zone classification. That's how it's been practiced, but it just wasn't spelled out clearly in these tables. So I'm going to jump to amendment number 7, which is similar. This is a clarification, classification of zones in county code. So this makes some similar changes to the titles and clarifications of the relationships between zones and the land use designations. What we're removing here is the density column. Because this would be the third place that we are defining density between the comp plan and the code. So we want to keep it just to the two primary locations that it needs to be, one in the comprehensive plan and the second in chapter 420 of the county code, which is the dimensions and density section. So excuse me as I scroll through a long table to get to amendment number 8. So this makes amendments consistent with what we looked at in amendment number 6, with clarifying minimum and maximum densities, including the Gorst bonuses that are allowed currently allowed under the Gorst subarea plan and the Silverdale Regional Growth Center bonuses. Another important aspect to this section is there was some inconsistent use of terminology, of the use of not applicable, the use of the word none, and of the use of zero to mean sometimes the same thing and sometimes different things. And so we've tried to go through and scrub this for consistency in use of all of those terms. Also, one change to this table relates to footnote number 50, which is the ILHI view protection overlay. And I'm going to scroll down to maximum height. Footnote number 50 used to be cited just specifically to the greenbelt zone. And the adopted ILHI view protection overlay crosses multiple zones, not just the greenbelt. The greenbelt is actually a very small portion of the overall view protection overlay. And so this is correcting that and applying the ILHI view protection overlay to all zones in the county now or in the future that might underlie the adopted ILHI view protection overlay. And there's later on in this attachment is the map for the ILHI view protection overlay. There's also some you'll see in the setback section on this page. I'm on page 11. There's some clarification and just consistent phrasing. Edits to use consistent phrasing across the different zones are intended to do this, mean the exact same things, but were just phrased differently as they were created over time. So we're trying to improve the consistency in terminology. So amendment number 9 includes the same changes as amendment number 8 that we've just been looking through for the commercial, industrial, and park zones. 8 is for the residential and rural zones. So I'm going to skip through that. Amendment number 10 includes some of the similar changes for the limited areas of more intensive rural development, or LAMRDs. And here we're seeing some of these maximum densities as zero, related to what I described under section number 6, that some of these zones are not intended to accommodate population growth, but they're so their maximum density is zero, but there are some specific types of residential uses that may be allowed on a parcel by parcel basis for in support of commercial and industrial uses in the zone. So examples of those would be caretakers' dwellings or residences that are they're kind of dwelling structures, but they're providing either employment like adult home care facilities that are single-family residences but are operated as businesses and care facilities, or bed and breakfast type of operations. These are not changing any of the allowed uses currently in code. This is just recognizing existing code and existing practice and just being more clear about it. So moving down to amendment number 11, this is incorporating the same footnote regarding those zero maximum densities that we had in the comprehensive plan, adopting it into the county code. Amendment 12 is clarifying its particular footnote, number 55, related to the Silverado Regional Growth Center, and that the bonus density to 60 dwelling units per acre for the urban high zone only applies within the regional growth center rather than a different zone, which is called regional center. So we have a regional center zone and we have the regional growth center. And this is just clarifying that for urban high in the regional growth center. Number 13 and 14 relate to the ILHE view protection overlay. So 13 is just clarifying the name of the overlay, and 14 is adopting the map as an appendix to Title 17. And the map is the shaded area along the shoreline. This doesn't overlay the zoning, but I think there are four zones that underlie it. And so instead of just the green belt, the overlay would apply to all the zones as was intended in the subarea plan. So that's the extent of the clarifying edits. There's quite a few there. And as I said, we probably will have questions and more discussion about some of these as we go along in work study. Are there any initial questions about these amendments at this time? Okay. So moving on to our site-specific amendments. So I'll ask Darren Gurney, long-range planner and Department of Community Development, to join me. And this is tab number 9. So this amendment relates to redesignations for infill and redevelopment. Circumstances for this amendment were that in 2016, the properties along this portion of the Central Kitsap urban growth area on Highway 303 were designated to urban high-intensity commercial and the commercial zone to the extent of the rear property line. Since 2016, the owners of these properties have done a boundary line adjustment and shifted the rear boundary line further away from the road, which has resulted in a split zone of their parcels. And that's 1.33 acres of their overall 3.49 acres is currently urban low density residential designation and urban restricted zone. So that back portion of the property, we'll show you a map in a second, they're requesting to change that from the residential designations to the commercial designation, which is what the front part of their property is currently designated. So this was a determination of non-significance for this amendment, and staff is recommending adoption with conditions. And this is where the transfer of development rights comes in. So under Kitsap County Code and implementing resolutions, comprehensive plan amendments like this are required to acquire transferable development rights as part of the amendment process. There are ratios for how that determine how many of these TDR transferable development rights you need to acquire. And in this case, it is a ratio of 3. So for every acre you're redesignating from this urban restricted to the commercial zone, you're required to acquire 3 TDRs. So that's how they get to 6 or 1.33 acres. I guess another important part of that calculation you should be aware of is that the acreage is rounded up to the next whole acre. So it's rounded, even though it's 1.33, it's rounded all the way up to 2 under the way the code is written. So I'll show you a map of these sites. So on the left-hand side is the current zoning, and you can see the outline of the property in pointer to work here. The property is outlined in black, so there's two parcels. The original parcel line was where the zone split. So the boundary line adjustment pushed the boundary back and resulting in the split zone. So the blue is the urban restricted, and the red is the commercial zone. And they're requesting to move the commercial zone all the way back to the rear property line. Their staff's analysis is that this is consistent with the Growth Management Act, the countywide planning policies, the comp plan, and the decision criteria in the county code. That the requested land use designation and zoning classification is consistent with the adjacent parcels, and we'll note that there are no critical area or buffers in the area that would be redesignated, that portion of the property. There are some critical areas further to the west. And if this parcel had been configured this way in 2016, the entire parcel would have been designated as commercial. We're recommending approval of this amendment. Any questions about the Richardson site-specific application?
Just real quick. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Just a question. How mature is the TDR market? Are we saying any six TDR certificates? How hard are those going to be to get, practically?
Darren Gurney, for the record, with DCD. At this time, we are in process of finalizing the mechanics of the program and the applications. We have some interested parties already who have contacted us. We have also been working with a couple of groups in the area to develop sending site possible locations. At this time, we technically do not have any sending sites locked down. So we don't have any development rights to transfer at this time. However, we are conditioning the approval to where if there are no development rights available, there is the ability to extend that for 5 years until we come into our next comprehensive plan update.
And is it primarily the ag community you're working with to try to develop the TDRs, or are there other groups that have shown interest?
Conservation groups, also Conservation District, Greater Peninsula Conservancy, we've reached out to them, some individual property owners. And it's not just agricultural. You have higher ratios for open space acquisition areas in rural wooded, and lots of non-conforming size in the rural areas.
Thank you. And on page four of your staff report are the conditions, and recognizing that the emerging market for TDRs and establishment of the program, the condition is that the TDR acquisition would need to be completed by June of 2021. Any other initial questions on the Richardson request? Okay. Thank you, Darren. So Liz Williams is going to come up and talk about the two mineral resource overlay amendments.
Thank you, Peter. Deserves a little bit of a rest. For the record, Liz Williams, planner with the Department of Community Development. So the next two site-specific amendments deal with adding a mineral resource overlay designation. And the mineral resource overlay designation is intended to identify and protect significant sand, gravel, and rock deposits as identified mineral resource lands, and to ensure continued and future use without disruption or endangerment of adjacent uses. So it's a temporary designation, which is intended, as Peter mentioned earlier, to occur once mineral resource extraction is occurring on the property, and then it would cease once that use has terminated, reverting back to the underlying designation. So the first in binder tab 10 is Yulin Tree Farm, LLC is the applicant. This is located in central Kitsap, approximately 1 mile southwest of Kitsap Lake. It contains, or the subject area is approximately 96 acres and is currently designated as forest resource lands. The circumstances related to this particular amendment, the applicant received approval of a conditional use for mineral resource extraction from Kitsap County in 2009. And the applicant then entered into a development agreement with Kitsap County, which included provisions that essentially required that the mineral resource overlay designation be established on the subject site while mineral resource extraction is occurring. So this particular amendment is consistent with the development agreement that has been entered into with the applicant and the property owner. CEPA determination of non-significance has been issued, and the department is recommending approval of this amendment as proposed. Go to the maps here. This site is located adjacent to the City of Bremerton's watershed property and just north of a public facility that is owned by the City of Bremerton. And it is within the larger Yulin Tree Farm, which makes up over 1,000 acres of active forest practice lands in conjunction with a mineral resource extraction. So I'd be happy to answer any questions specific to this amendment. Like we have too many. So the second amendment is a little different. And through this site-specific amendment, the department did identify that based on Kitsap County Code, there are really a couple of different pathways that a property owner could take to establish the mineral resource overlay designation. This particular property owner does not have a conditional use permit that has been approved for this development or development on the site. But with that being said, they did complete a geotechnical report to identify if there were mineral resources present on the site. And the circumstances are a little unique. This site is located next to an existing basalt quarry just within the Gorst urban growth area. And the applicant, basically the existing quarry site has been in operation for about 20 years, and the property owner has essentially extracted all of the resources from the existing quarry site, and there's about 5 more years of resources available for extraction. So this led them to exploring kind of what they could do long term with other lands that are adjacent to their site. And in your binder, in tab 10, within attachment C1, you will find a copy of that geotechnical report that has been completed, which did identify that there are commercially viable resources available on the site. And the applicant has stated that the proposed amendment is necessary at this time to allow for adequate time for them to develop plans, obtain permits, and complete site development activities, which they're estimating to take about 5 years. As I mentioned, this particular amendment did take a slightly different course than the Yulin Tree Farm. And in our review of existing code, staff did identify that with the establishment of the mineral resource overlay designation, it essentially takes the permissibility. So in the existing rural protection zone, mineral resource extraction requires a conditional use permit. But when the mineral resource overlay is applied, the permissibility switches for mineral resource extraction to permitted. And so this is a little inconsistent with how past sites have gone through the process, and so staff is recommending a revision to Title 17 of Kitsap County Code that would essentially change the use permissibility of mineral resource extraction from a permitted use to a conditional use. And this is to ensure that the public is able to participate throughout the development review process and ensure that environmental impacts associated with site development activities are evaluated throughout that public process. And so that is the department's recommendation for this one is to adopt the mineral resource overlay with revisions to the Kitsap County Code that would change the permissibility for mineral resource extraction from permitted to conditional. So just to show you a map of the site, the existing quarry that I mentioned is here in blue along West Sherman Heights Road. The subject site is outlined with the dark black line, and the proposed zoning classification would be the rural protection with the mineral resource overlay is what they're proposing. So I'm happy to answer questions. I know that was kind of a lot to go through related to this one. All right. Back to Peter.
All right. Well, thank you. So you have a 3-inch thick binder full of materials. And hopefully that was a decent overview of what is provided there for you to review. Again, the staff reports start with, you know, a quick overview summary and then plain talk descriptions of the amendments before you get to the attachments with the detailed strikeout underline language. So we will be returning on July 17th to complete our initial work study on the remaining three amendments. So we should be getting those out to you by the 10th in preparation for that. In the meantime, if you have questions about any of these amendments, please feel free to contact the staff listed in the staff reports, and we'd be happy to discuss them with you. And if you have identify any questions that might require some further research by staff, please share that with us so we can come prepared for additional work study with you. With that, I think we'll have materials for you for next meeting, and I think we're done for tonight.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
I showed that it was the work study and then administrative update. Do you have anything for administrative update?
I didn't prepare, good evening. I didn't prepare any specific items because I was expecting tonight to be pretty long. And I think for the next few, I would say work study and hearing will be pretty long. However, I do like to perhaps maybe even through email, it's just to keep the Planning Commission up to speed with what's going on in the, on the regional level. So I will likely send you a recently adopted, when I say recently, it was adopted in March. PSRC adopted the regional center framework that will impact us, particularly on Silverdale. So I will send you the copy so that you get a chance to take a quick look. I wouldn't read it cover to cover. Even for us, it was hard to understand. And also, our department just finished our 5-year strategic action plan. Again, very dry reading. We got tons of stuff we want to do for the next 5 years. So I think what I'll do is just email those to you and then maybe have a follow-up. Take about 10 minutes under administrative item. I will try to pick the night that is not too brutal. And just to, because a lot of, I want to make a point too, so that you understand a lot of the regional action or activities or projects that's going on is coming from the commissioner's office. So my role is quite limited. And just to make sure we coordinate with Eric, Having said that, I think the commission should know, the planning commission should know what's going on at the regional level. So I'll just continue to try to keep you up to speed on that. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anything else for the good of the order before we adjourn today?
Yes, I have a question on the particular location of where you're sitting tonight for the presentation. Is this a conscious decision or at a permanent decision?
So we found out yesterday that the regular projection system that operates through the podium and makes everything nice and easy to use is no longer functional. And so this is a last minute workaround so that we could present anything. And hopefully a fix is in order. Our IS team is working on it. We do have a larger redesign in place for the whole chambers and Port Blakely room also that's coming hopefully in November. So it's all in the works, and so right now we're trying to keep things rolling.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? All right, we will adjourn.